Good evening, everybody. Agut Nchodesh, Agut Yar. As we transition from the month of Av and now into the month of Elul, as we move from the month of Churban now into the month of Tshuva, I just want to spend a few minutes thinking about the following Medrash. The Medrash tells us in the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Ha'azinu, the Medrash says a very striking statement that there's no such thing as Tshuva for Umas Ha'olam, for Avdei Kochavim. There's only the possibility of Tshuva for the Jewish people. Now, Rabbi Chanan already discusses in the Kovetz Drushas, in the back of his Kovetz Ha'aris, he says, I don't understand. What about Nineveh? We know the town, the place called Nineveh, obviously did a tshuva, and we learn a lot of the Hilchos Tshuva from Nineveh themselves. So how can you say there's no such thing as tshuva by Umas Ha'olam? So whatever you're going to do with that kasha, perhaps the Umas Ha'olam can't get a tshuva shlema like the Jewish people, but whatever it is, the Medrash tells us that there's some aspect, there's some element of tshuva that is only reserved for the Jewish people, and it is not going to be given to the Umas Ha'olam. And the question is, why? How do we understand that? And what is that really supposed to mean for us? So just by way of introduction, to understand and appreciate what this actually means, let's just back up a little bit. The Gemara tells us in the end of Makos, a famous Gemara that tells us that Rabbi Kiva was traveling with a bunch of other Tanoim, and they get to a certain place which was obviously part of the Roman Empire. It was part of the palace, part of the region where the king lived. And the Gemara tells us that they saw a big fanfare happening by one of these palaces. Hischilu heim bochim, all the other Tanoim began to cry, because look, the Romans who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, the Romans who were successful in destroying Klal Yisrael, so they're going on with life, everything's fine, but the Jewish people are suffering. V'hischu Rabbi Kiva mitzachik. While all the other Tanoim are crying, Rabbi Kiva himself is laughing. Why is he laughing? Excuse me. So Rabbi Kiva says, if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to Ovrei Ritzono, if this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the Romans who do such terrible things in this world, imagine what's in store for us after we live lives, fulfill lives of Torah Mitzvahs, imagine what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us. Then the Gemara goes on to say another story. There, Rabbi Kiva, who lived through the Churban, was traveling with the same group of Chaverim, and they come to the Makam HaMikdash, and they see that out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim there are Shualim Holchim Bo. They see that there are foxes running in and out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Terrible. So, Hischilu Heim Bochim, all of them begin to cry. Look at the state of Churban. Look where we've gotten ourselves. And it's Hischu Rabbi Kiva Lasachik. Rabbi Kiva, once again, is found laughing. He sees the positive in everything. And Rabbi Kiva says, don't worry. The same way that this Nevuah came true, that there's going to be Churban, so too the other Nevuah of Zechariah is going to come true, that, oh, Yeshu is a Kenim, is a Kenis, Berchavis Yushalayim. Don't worry. That there's going to come a time when everything's going to be rebuilt, when everything's going to be okay. And that's where Rabbi Kiva sees a positive, he sees an optimistic view, even in the times of Churban, even in the times of tragedy. One of my Rabbeim once told me that this is also the Pshat. You'll notice that in the Haggadah Shal Pesach, we have the same group of five Tanaim who go to Rabbi Kiva's house in Bnei Brak. What are they doing in Bnei Brak? So you'll say, maybe they went to Rabbi Kiva, he was the biggest Talmud Chacham. But Chayv Adam Lahakol Pnei Rabba Beregel, who is the Rebbe of the group? Rabbi Lezer. They weren't by Rabbi Lezer's house. Rabbi Lezer himself was one of the Tanaim who traveled to Rabbi Kiva. What are they doing by Rabbi Kiva and Bnei Brak? So the suggestion was given that perhaps the idea is that, look, imagine what it's like for a generation living through the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The way the Gemara describes what Erev Pesach used to look like in the Beis HaMikdash. There were millions of Jews coming to Yerushalayim. Everyone would come up to be makar the Karban Pesach. It was eaten by Uchlasei Yisrael. The Karban Pesach was eaten with tons of people. There were so many Jews who used to come. It was such a beautiful sight. The Gemara says, Halela Paka Igra, was like the roofs were coming off because of the beautiful singing of Hallel when everybody ate the Karban Pesach. So imagine what it was like for these Tanoim, living through the time of destruction. Imagine what it was like for that first Pesach, and they're trying to conjure up in their minds, how are we going to have a Pesach? How are we supposed to have Simchas Yantav when we just experienced the Churban, when we just experienced the destruction? What's going to be with us? How are we going to go through this Pesach, this Yantav, and actually enjoy ourselves? You know what the answer is? Let's go spend Pesach by Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is the one who always knows how to find the optimistic view in everything. Rabbi Kiva always knows how to find the positive. So they choose to go spend Pesach by Rabbi Kiva because he's the one who's going to give them, he's going to elevate their spirits. He's going to give them a meaningful Yomtiv even in a year which is so replete with destruction. And my father added to this as well. The Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out that this is the pshat why Rabbi Kiva is the one who says in the Gemara in Yuma, Ashreichem Yisrael lifnei mi atem mitar mi mitar eschem, avichem shabashamayim. Why is Rabbi Kiva saying this? Because imagine what it was like. It used to be in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. person did an Avera, what'd he do? It was easy. You go to the Beis HaMikdash, you buy a carbon. I mean, not easy, but it costs a little bit of money. You go to the Beis HaMikdash, you say a little vidui, offer the carbon, makir on the Mizbeach, life moved on for you, it's okay. Now imagine what it's like. You wake up the day after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and now you're wondering, I do want Avera and I'm done. I do want Avera and I'm finished. God doesn't like me anymore. I have no way of coming back. Zok Rabbi Akiva, to that generation living through the Churban, don't worry about it. Even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, who do you think it was that was being matar you? You think it was your carbon? It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's still here. He didn't go away. He didn't go anywhere. There's nothing to be concerned about just because you don't have the Beis HaMikdash, just because the Jewish people are not in their glorious state that they once were, just because we're not being makarv all those karbanos, it doesn't mean that we don't have an opportunity to have kurva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't be depressed about it. That was the reassuring message that Rabbi Kiva gave over to that generation who was experiencing, who was living through the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So when you think about all of that, so then we look at a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah tells us, Hu Haya Omer. Whatever you have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Hu Haya Omer, you have to look in the Mishnah beforehand to see who we're discussing. So over here, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Kiva was the one who said, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikru Banam Lamakum, Shenamar Banam Atem Lashem Alokechem. Rabbi Kiva comes along and he says, we are the Banam Lamakum. Here's Rabbi Kiva talking again to the generation who's living through Churban, who feels that their father has left them, who feels so depressed and so down, and he says to them, don't worry about it. Yes, you've experienced the Churban, but banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Your father is always here for you. And a father is always going to be there for his child, even when times are difficult, even when things don't look right. The father is always looking after his child, and that is the reassuring message that Rabbi Kiva gives over to this generation living through the Churban. It's interesting to note that we mentioned this in the past, but it's worth mentioning again, the Kutzker has a beautiful insight that when the brothers were told to give Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, to bring Binyamin and give him to Yosef, they didn't know it was Yosef yet. So what's the taina that they say why they can't give up Binyamin? What's the taina? They say we have an old father, v'yelad zekudim katan, and he has this young child, and what's going to happen? V'haya ki ein hanar v'meis, if our father sees that the child is not with us when we return, he's going to die. Nebuch. So we have this young, cute little boy, Binyamin. We can't let him be taken away, too bad. What does Rashi say from the Gemara in Sota? How old was Binyamin at the time? He was around 40 or something. He was like 35 years old. He had 10 children, the Gemara says. It goes through all the names of all his children, then he named them all after Yosef HaTzadik. So you have this cute little boy who's 35 years old and has 10 little children of his own. Why did brothers go to Mitzrayim and say, hey, the reason we can't give Binyamin is because our father's an old man and he's going to die if he finds out that Binyamin was killed. Why don't you say, because Binyamin has 10 little children, and 10 Yisomim are going to be left in the world without a father to raise them if you take Binyamin away. Frek the Kutzker, why didn't they ask that? Why didn't they say we have to bring him home because he has 10 children waiting at home for him? It's a good kasha. Zok the Kutzker, because the feeling that a father has when he loses a child is worse than 10 Yisomim being raised in the world without a father. It's not the same. The kurva of a parent to a child is much greater. The ava that a parent has toward a child is so much greater, it's so much more powerful than the love that a child has to a parent. The child cannot appreciate how much a parent does for them. They cannot imagine how much love the parent has. The parent's love is so much greater, and that's why the brothers say that although Binyamin has 10 children at home, the loss is going to be so much more profound for Yaakov Avinu, the father, not to have his son, than for the 10 children not to have their father. That's what you see from here. So when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being our father, when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu loving us, we have to understand that yes, we have a certain distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're in Galus, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time, the kurva, the ava, the love that He has for us is so much more profound than anything we can ever imagine. A parent's love is always greater than the love that a child has for a parent. So the B'nai Yisoscha writes a beautiful insight. He points out that the Gemara says in Ksuvah Staf Yud Zayin that Melech Shemachal HaKavodo Ein Kavodo Machal. A melech does not have a right to forego his honor. Why not? Simply put, because he represents something larger than life. The melech is not just representing himself, he represents the whole community, he represents the whole country. So what right does he have to be mochel on his kavod? If I'm an individual person and you're mevazami, so I'll say, okay, I'm not makbid on my kavod, it's okay. But if I represent something so much greater, you don't have a right to be mevazami, and I don't have a right to be mochel on that kavod. So that's why we say, melech shemochel akavodo, Ein kavodo machal. He doesn't have a right to be mochel on his kavod. Frekt the b'nei yisaschar. If that's the case, then a melech shemachal akavodo ein kavodo machal, then how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever able to accept our tshuva? We slighted him. We did something wrong to the melech. We weren't allowed to transgress these averus, but we did it anyway. Melech shemachal akvodo in kvodo machal. How's he allowed to be machalos? Zakh de b'nei Yisachar, you know what the answer is? Because banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. Zakh de b'kiva, he tells us, banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. Is it a bizayim for a father to be mochel his son? It's not a bizayim. He's my father. What's the big deal? It's not the same. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, av shemachal akvodo, kvodo is machal. He's allowed to be machal on his covet. And that says the b'nei Yisachar is the pshat, why the Medrash tells us that there's a idea of tshuva for Klal Yisrael, but there's no such concept for the Umas HaOlam. Why? Because to the Umas HaOlam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only a melech, but to us he's an av. He's a father. And if we believe that we're banim lamakom, the whole tshuva is predicated on the fact that we believe that we are banim lamakom. I thought just to add to this idea of the B'nai Yisachar, for Nusach Ashkenaz at least, obviously for Svard you're going to have Akasha, but for Nusach Ashkenaz, you look through the Siddur in Shemona Esrei, we daven for so many things in Shemona Esrei. Rifa'enu, we want a refua, we want a Yeshua, we want a Matzmiach Karen Yeshua, we want Yushalayim Yerucha, we want Shema Koleinu, we want a Parnasa, so many different things. There are only two brachas in Shemona Esrei where we say the word Avinu. What are those? Slach lanu Avinu kichatanu, hashivenu Avinu l'sarasecha. What do you mean? Why do we cry out to our Father only in these two brachas? Why don't you say, Rifa'enu Avinu, we need a refua, Baruch Aleinu Avinu, we need a Parnasa, we need a Yeshua, we need Yushalayim. The answer is because we can ask that of a melech as well. But the only way that we can ask for a tshuva, for a slicha, for a kapara, is if we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Father. If we don't believe that, if we don't believe that we're banim, then there's no opportunity for tshuva. Melech shemachal akvodo, ain't kvodo machal. He doesn't have a right to be machal as kavod. The only right that he has to be machal is if we as children believe that we are really considered the banim lamakam. If we don't believe in that in the first place, then the whole tshuva doesn't get off the ground. And just to end with one beautiful insight, there's a another B'nai Yisachar where he writes that there were really three miracles that happened in the Midbar. One was the Nes of the Man, one was the Be'er, and one was the Anani HaKavod. Frekta B'nai Yisachar, it's an interesting kasha, the Chidah has it as well, but why is it that we only make a Zecher, in the Torah, we only make a Zecher for the Anani HaKavod? What about the Man and the Be'er? So you're going to say, well, we have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos that's connected to the Man, okay, but there's no Pasuk in Chumash, that's an Asmachta Ba'alma at best, probably only the Rabbanon. Why do we only have a Zecher for the Anani HaKavod and not for anything else? Zakta b'nei Yisachar beautifully, he explains like this. He says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Beis, it pertains to this week's parsha, Som Tasim Alech HaMelech, we have a lot of dinim of what is proper conduct with a melech and what is not. So says the Gemara, Ein rochav al suso shel HaMelech, you're not allowed to ride on the chariot of the melech. Imagine if I jump into Barack Obama's limousine. I jump into the I'll get killed before I get there. But imagine if there could be such a thing. Such a chutzpah. Who do you think you are? This is the president's motorcade. You think you belong in there? You don't belong there. So says the Gemara, Ein rochav al suso shel HaMelech, you as a citizen do not have the right to ride on the suso shel HaMelech. So ask the B'nai Yisachar. You look through the Psukim and Chumash, what does it say? Hine anochi ba'elecha ba'av ha'anam. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu travels in the clouds. It says, in Moshe nigash el ha'arafel asher sham ha'elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu enters the Arafel, he enters the cloud, which is the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nu? So if that's the case, then what right did we have in the Midbar to travel on the Anani HaKavod? Ein rochon al susa shel HaMelech, asked the B'nai Yisachar. So what right do we have? Zok the B'nai Yisachar, the answer is, imagine if President Obama's daughter asks him if she can have a ride in the limousine. Is that a bizayin? It's not a bizayin. She's the child, she's the daughter. What's the big deal? Of course he can give her a ride. Me as a citizen, a chutzpah, I don't have a right. But you as a child, of course you have the right. Well, so too says the B'nai Yisachar. Because we believe that banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, because we believe that we're banim l'makom, that's what gave us the right to travel in the Anani HaKavod. Ein rochven al suso shel HaMelech is correct, that's true. But at the same time, a child is able to use the suso shel HaMelech if his father is the king. So that's why we had the right. And says the B'nai Yisachar, this is why there's a zecher to Anani HaKavod directly following Yom Kippur. What's Yom Kippur predicated on? We just said, the whole idea of tshuva is only if we believe in the fact that banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, that you're children. So right after that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come a sukkis, and I want you to make a zecher for the Anani HaKavod, and the whole idea of the Anani HaKavod was that you are banim l'makom. The whole right that you had to use the Anani HaKavod was because you are children, and children are allowed to use the property of their father. You're not a melech and a eved to me, you're a banim l'makom. You have a whole different relationship than you have with a melech. You have really a relationship of a father and a child. So this is something for us to think about as we go into Chodesh Elul and we begin to talk about the inyanim of tshuva. We begin about the time when Dirshu Hashem Be'imatza, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be closer to us, is just for us to understand that if we don't believe and if we don't begin to act like the Banim LaMakom, it expects a lot, it requires a lot of our conduct as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to act in a certain way, because people look at us, we're the Or LaGayim. What does it mean, Or LaGayim? It means because we're the Banim LaMakom, because we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, the Umas HaOlam look up to us. They expect a higher standard out of us. We always say, all right, there's a double standard. There should be a double standard. The Jewish people are held to a double standard because we are the Banim LaMakom. And a Ben Melech is considered to be something which is supposed to be on a better behavior than anybody else's. So this is something for us to think about as we go ahead.